Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. That is interviews with people making a difference on the planet, in the collective, during this time of the great shift, whatever that means to you and to me. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I have a very special guest tonight, someone who has been making a difference with her true nature, her acting ability, and her healing prowess all over the place. Welcome to the show, Dee Wallace.
I loved that intro. Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to talk to you. Your new book, Bright Light, Spiritual Lessons from a Life in Acting, was very enticing for me. Just that whole thing, because we're all besieged with performance at some level, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the greatest performance that we're in is the performance of us. And we get to write it, direct it, star in it, edit it, release it.
I love that. And you know, this book, which is kind of it's an autobiography in a way.
Oh, absolutely. It's an autobiography. Yeah. It's a journey through my life, through my childhood, because in order for you to appreciate what I've been through, what I lost, and what I found again, you have to really understand my childhood and the messages that were in place there that created what later became my greatest challenges. And, you know, I say in the front of the book, this is my story, but it's yours. It's yours, too. And that's what everybody is saying on Amazon, by the way, is, oh, my God, I went in to read about Dee and I found me.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say was you don't get all caught on the emotional details either. They're there and you do a brilliant job with them, but
you
don't get all hung up on them, if you know what I mean. I don't feel like I'm reading from Edge of Night or something like that.
Oh, no. Because you know what? I think, and I think we fall out, those of us that are reading into this creation thing. Creation's fun. It has to be fun. You know? I mean, God said, okay, let there be light, and there was. You know? So
I often laugh and say the light either fizzes or pops.
I love that. Ooh, I'm going to steal that.
Oh, you can have it.
I'm going to steal that.
But it's true, isn't it? It pops through situations and we're enlit, aren't we? Or you're enlightened.
Yeah, because, you know, we've been incorrectly taught, and it's really messing us up, that in order to stay safe in the world when somebody hurts you or you hurt you or something happens, in order to stay safe, we dim our light and make ourselves smaller. Now, science and spirituality know that everything is created, you know, you lower light into manifestation by your focus on it, right?
Right.
So if we dim our light, we're giving away the very tool that we create manifestation with, because we're not using the light that is everything. So if somebody's hurt us, and who out there is not a part of that scenario? We've all been raped, belittled, humiliated, mm-hmm. abandoned, something in our life. We all have our story, mm-hmm. right?
And sometimes we're born with a lot of that resonant in the soul's journey, too, aren't we?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love Terry Cole Whitaker's statement. For those of you who believe in reincarnation, this is the life you've been dying to live. So let's get on with it.
Oh, that's
exciting. You know,
exciting.
What do we want to create in this energetic time of this moment of now? Mm. That's the only thing you have to focus on and ask yourself. How do I want to create me right now in this moment? Do I want to be unhappy? Do I want to be a victim? Do I want to keep blaming them? Do I want to feel unpowerful? Or do I want to be my light and my power of my love and my joy? Do I want to create me as happiness? And then I see the world through that perspective of the me that I've already created.
Well, tell me this. What do you think about, now this is just to challenge you, but what about karma?
I don't believe in karma.
Oh, you don't?
Karma's done. And let me tell you how they explained karma to me. I say they, the channel. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me on my show, by the way, who do you channel? And I go, I don't know. Let's ask. the message we all got was everybody. Because we all know it's one energy, right? So you can call it the angels, you can call it the guides, you can call it the archangels, but if we truly are one energy, we're all channeling the I. We're all channeling the unlimited truth.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
You know? So I just figure I always go to the executive producer to find out everything. So I'm just figuring that I'm channeling God, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Good for you.
Because I want the highest answer I can get. So anyway, back
and
to karma.
And you can tell also if it's a lower kind of frequency, so.
Well, yeah, who wants to go to the, you know, frequencies that don't have the highest answer?
Right, right.
Not me.
Okay, back to karma, yeah.
So back to karma, this is how they explained karma. This is how quickly you can get out of your karma if you believe in karma. I'm small, I'm insignificant, I'm not worthy, instant karma. Oh, wait, no, I'm magnificent. I'm a part of the whole, I'm awesome, I'm unconditional love, no karma. So in that instantaneous choice of a new and separate perception, the karma is gone.
Well, on your website,
imdwallace.com.
Yeah, and you have a section there on, you have some wonderful videos there.
Thank you.
One of them is on making choice, just like what you said. It's just very wonderful for people to check out as well.
Well, that it all starts with choice, guys, you know, and we are the virtual reality that we're writing. You know, it's not a science fiction movie. It's the truth that you can write your story however you want to write it, and the universe will produce it. But you got to choose. And that's what Bright Light is about. Is that was a huge lesson that I learned in Bright Light, is as long as I'm waiting for somebody to say they're sorry, to make up for what they did, as long as I'm blaming somebody for not choosing or not being able to choose, nothing's going to change in my story. Nothing. Because I haven't chosen to change it.
So the karma is making the choice of getting that vengeance or that evenness done instead of stepping out of it.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I think if we really could understand that we forgive for us, we don't forgive for the other person.
Yeah,
we forgive so that we are free. We are free of the anger. We are free of the victimness that comes along with non-judgment.
I was taught years ago that forgiveness is to mental health what vaccination is to physical health.
OMG. I like that.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a good metaphor.
Yeah. So how you went through some big challenges when you were little, but you also had that kind of amazing spark that just knew you had to kind of go out there and be seen, right?
I did. From the time I can remember, if I was creating, I was happy. So take me to a dance class, let me draw a picture, let me give a poem or a reading somewhere, you know, as long as I was creating. And my daughter is the same way. We're happy. But isn't that also a metaphor for life, you see? The greatest creation you start with is you. But most of us are sitting around waiting for somebody or something to come along so that it will be worth creating us again. So,
or for somebody to give you permission.
Well, absolutely. And again, it's all about you.
Well, don't you think that some people, I mean, everybody's got a different dharma, a different soul purpose kind of thing, and a different spark. You think, and I'm just cycling around here because you were talking about in your acting career, your best performances came when you were really you, right?
The best creation in my life has always come by just being me. And it's funny, I haven't gone to this book in a long time, but one of the first books that I read when I got to Hollywood was changing by Lee Ullman. And the whole book is about how Hollywood wanted her to be something that she wasn't. You know, go into this mold, fit this mold. Well, Hollywood and the world are waiting for you to be your authentic self. So,
but sometimes people don't have your spark, for example. But
no, that's not true. I disagree with that.
Oh, you do?
I think we all are the light.
Oh, but I was thinking of something just a little different, which is that everybody has a version of their real self, and it may not look like yours. It may not be like your spark, but they have something, is what I was going to say.
Well, yes, and ultimately, who we really are, all of us, the authentic self that we really are, that we come in as, is joy and unconditional love. So any way
you see that
means,
in a baby, don't you?
Yes. You know you're the center of the world, and you know everybody's going to take care of you.
Right.
And you lay there, and you let them do it.
And you
and
giggle.
And then, you know, by around 2 years old, we start the socialization process. Give up your toy. Get out of the sandbox. Don't tell me what you want. Don't, you know, declare that you have to have this. Don't expect it to get everything. And then we get to 21 and go, we wonder why we can't create our lives.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so whatever or whomever, including yourself, has taken you away from that core of unconditional love and joy, which is light, that is what you want to reclaim right now. So that you can go, I don't care what. Do you know that every specialist that I saw told me I would not have my daughter? Everybody.
Yeah, now, I love that part of your book. It's a really wonderful read.
Thank you. Thank you. Because we all, and anybody that's listening, take a moment. You have a time in your life where you didn't listen to somebody else's limitations.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't listen to somebody else's definition, and you said, I'm going to do it anyway, and you did.
Right.
Okay? So if we know that experience at all, anywhere in our life, we know it everywhere. And we've got to move back into the trust of that. So when they told me I had to have breast implants to make it big, I said, no, that's not who I am, and that's not the parts I'm going to play. So I'm not going to do that. When they told me I wouldn't have a daughter or a baby, I said, no, I got a different plan. And now she's 22 and starting her acting career.
Oh, wow. Good for her.
You know, and but if we stop ourselves by thinking they know more, they have more power, who am I? I have no control over my life. Then you become created upon by other people's limitations.
Well, tell some stories about, you've got some great stories in this book, Bright Light.
Thank you.
About your going, for example, not accepting an acting job until you got a certain amount of money, and sticking to not taking your clothes off. Remember, there were a lot of things that you had the chutzpah or the spark or the confidence in your own light to stand your ground, didn't you?
Well, you know, I was always taught in Kansas, I mean, there's a lot to be said for being raised in Kansas, to be truthful and to be truthful to myself. And so if it didn't feel right, don't do it. And that's kind of always, for better or worse in some instances, that's been my guiding rule. Now, it's interesting when you listen to Abraham Hicks and all the people on the health circuit now, everybody tells you, go to your feelings. How do you feel? That's the best barometer. And that was kind of always, if I could really feel the truth of how I was feeling, I had pretty clear guidance. And I think I say in the book, you know, when Blake Edwards sat down and said, so what do you think about doing this scene nude, Dee? Images of my grandmother hanging herself over my head. because, and I talk a lot about my grandma and her influence in my life in this book, too. But ultimately, you know, I spoke my truth. And I said, Mr. Edwards, I make my living doing commercials right now. If I take my clothes off back then, I wouldn't be able to do any more commercials. So if you'd like to guarantee me some more pictures, I can try. And he just looked at me and kind of smiled and he said, okay, just thought I'd ask.
But you never did have to do that, did you?
What, in 10?
Take your clothes off.
In 10?
I can't remember. In 10?
In 10, I actually, and it was my choice. I was only photographed from the back, but I became so frustrated because every time I wanted to be free to play the scene, and every time we got a perfect take, somehow the sheets wouldn't be right or this wouldn't be right, and you could see all the, and I finally said, forget it.
My grandma doesn't want me to do this.
You know, and so I did. I took them off, but you don't ever see anything except from the back,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it was just for the sheer convenience of being able to be free in the scene. I have done nudity that I thought was responsible mm-hmm. and inherent to a project in a couple of pictures. But I also had it in my contract that I had final cut on those scenes.
Aha. So you used a lot of your own spark in your contracts, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to be true to my truthfulness,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
so what do you suggest for fledgling actors these days?
Oh, hold on to who you are, because everybody you see will tell you something else. Be this, be that, do your hair this way, do your hair that way, you need new pictures. It's not about any of that. It's about you creating you. So if things aren't showing up in your life, and I do this in my studio, we do a lot of the healing work that I do in the studio itself.
The studio is where you're teaching acting or teaching dance and acting?
I'm teaching one master class right now and of acting. And obviously, the healing work has been incredibly influential because right now, everybody's working nonstop, just working nonstop, because our intention is whatever's in the way of us taking ourselves powerfully out into the world, it's got to drop away, it's got to come forward. We want the highest truth. We want to see everything that's in our way. Our intention is to powerfully take us out into the world in love. And when you do that, you create things like E.T. that affect the world.
And how do you think movies are doing these days for affecting the world? Do you think that that attitude, which is brilliant, is permeating the movie media situation?
I think it is a lot, actually. I mean, Avatar is a perfect example. And then, you know, there are people who just want to make money doing movies that entertain you. And entertainment's good. Entertainment allows us to get out of who we are and play pretend.
I liked what you said about playing in horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to tell people what your interpretation is? I really like that.
Well, it's just so funny because so many people that interview me think they're really going to trip me up with that question of how can you, you know, do all these horror films and be a healer? And I just go, look, dude, I've been studying fear for 30 years.
Well, you explain that in the book. You say, you know, here I was working out my shadow over and over again. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and it's true. It's very true that the biggest monster that we have to run away from and save ourselves from is us and the fears that we hold within us.
Well, so what do you think about all these movies that are out these days that are really violent and sexy and all that stuff? I mean, do you think that's helping people work stuff out, or do you think it's maybe a little destructive or what?
I think it depends on the person's perception that is watching it. And I know that doesn't sound like a very healer kind of thing to say.
Well, I don't know what healers say.
Do I enjoy the slasher movies? I hate the slasher movies. I don't think they're even entertaining. I love a good horror film, but a slasher movie is, okay, well, here's this many people, and let's see how quick and creatively we can kill them all off. That has no story for me. That, you know, anybody can write something like that. Mm-hmm. That's not a good horror film where you develop the characters and you care about them, and there's an actual story and, you know, really lesson in a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, in look at every Disney picture.
Mm-hmm.
It all has a violent bad person. And
well, so do the old fairy tales. I mean,
exactly. And the psychology behind that is it gives children an opportunity to do two things: to deal with their fears in a safe environment, and to feel that they can handle their fears because everything turns out okay. I think a lot of the movies. And a lot of TV is not consciousness responsible.
Good. I feel like that too. I'm perplexed about the whole thing.
Well, I think, unfortunately, there's this belief in the dualities mm-hmm. and the yin and yang, but what I'm hearing is it's not dual. Oh, I know what it is. It's okay. It's the belief in this pattern. We have to have a problem so we can have a solution.
Right.
We've got to create a problem so we can have a solution. Look at every reality show on TV.
Yeah.
Let's pardon the phrase, masturbate mm-hmm. over the problem.
Right.
Too much weight. We're too stupid. We're too ingrained in how we look, the plastic surgery, whatever the heck they're dealing with, right?
Right.
And is there some kind of a solution? Well, that empowers the public that are watching these because they're not solving the problems in their own life. So they mindlessly watch these reality shows so that they can then have the problems solved for them and feel like they participated in some way.
Mm-hmm. I have another thing, too, which is sometimes when I watch things or I look through things, because I don't sit and watch most of them, but they take people's minds into very aberrative states sometimes, and I'm not sure that's necessary for learning to deal with fear.
The only...
Distortions, I mean.
Yeah, the only... That's just...
Sensational.
Yeah, and you get the ride, see? You get the dramatic ride. But the more you focus and identify with those shows and the vibrations that happen there, the more you're going to create them in your own life.
Well, that's my feeling, and that's why I have I don't fight and stuff anymore. I used to be kind of revolutionary in my thinking. But I watch that and feel ashamed that we aren't conscious enough to see how we're distorting people's choice factor, really.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in your terms.
But you see, that's the point, is everybody gets to create the energy the way they want it.
Yeah,
and that's our lesson, mm-hmm. you and me. That's
right.
Our lesson, is to sit back and go, you know what, there's no right or wrong, better or worse, good or bad. There is only the experimentation with the creation of energy.
Right.
So when I know that the creative force of the world, some people call it God, some people call it love, some people call it Buddha, whatever your term is for the energy that is the creation of it all through our direction, loves us so unconditionally that it will create for us whatever we so choose to direct it. So if we get up and say, I'm tired, it will give us more tired. If we go, I love getting off on everybody's pain, it will give us more pain to get off on. And
but you're saying that if you go into emotions, that isn't a good way to make choices anymore. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if you're into reaction around anything, you're out of creation.
Mm.
If you react, then you are only bouncing off what somebody else is giving you. Acting is reacting.
Right.
Okay? Creation is creating. And you can't create. Well, you can create, actually, in reaction if you choose not to react.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I sure am.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were, you know, you're like, we're right there on the same page.
Yeah.
But it's,
I'm also thinking about something else. Do you teach children? Can we teach children the difference between reaction and creation early enough that it becomes a normal?
Well, I think we could teach them if we could ever learn it. You know, but
well
how are
said.
We going to teach the kids when we're still in reaction and out of creation in our own lives? How are you going to teach your kids unconditional love when you're telling them they have to get good grades for you to love them?
Yeah, that's true. Hey?
You know, I mean, we don't honor and respect and cherish the magnificence of our children. We try and control it. We go, oh, you're so creative that you can't sit down? Here's a pill. Now sit down. You know, that's not teaching them unlimited, you know, thought and creating themselves. That's teaching them when you get out and create yourself, we can't handle it, so take a pill.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that what we're all being told?
Yes, really. Like,
you can't handle, you know, your neck and shoulder ache? Well, God forbid that you find out what the energetic cause is behind them. Take a pill instead. Now, we've got to tell you that if you take this pill, you're probably going to have bone loss in 20 years, and probably your high blood pressure, but take a pill anyway.
So what, I love that. What are we, of course, I am reacting against that, you know, so as soon as you're saying all this, I'm going in this melee of, oh my gosh, I'm reacting against the pharmaceutical thing and so on. I'll have to kind of recreate, although we're doing it, doing energy and healing sessions.
Look,
yeah.
You know, we have the right to create ourselves as fabulous wellness with absolutely nothing to fix or heal. That's my choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to know dis-ease mentally, physically, spiritually, chemically, cosmically, or emotionally to create the health and wellness that I know I want to live in.
Right.
So, I don't have any time for the other stuff.
Yeah. When did you emerge into the healer? Which part of your career, what part of your life?
Oh, you know, it's like everything else. It's a process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I... that night that I talk about in Bright Light when I fell to my knees, the next day, you know, I said, I want a way we can heal ourselves. The next day, all this information started coming in. I didn't know what the heck was going on. I thought, my God, I'm hearing voices now. Maybe I have gone over the deep end, right? And so that's how it started. And I started taking in all the information to class. And I had worked with kinesiology for a long time. We started testing it all. I'm telling you, the universe set up my own little lab for me.
Great.
And so then our lives and our careers started to change exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted, well, can you do it for my parents? And then can you do it for the friends? And here I am, you know, 15 years later, very clairaudient and doing private sessions all across the world on a daily basis.
Hmm.
And just finishing my fourth book, and on tour, of course, for Bright Light, which is my new baby and the one I think
Bright
I
Light
love
is
my
so
other
inspiring.
Two books. Yeah, I love Conscious Creation and the Biggie, but Bright Light is the most accessible book for the masses.
Yeah. It's an easy read, which is not a put down at all. It's wonderfully digestible, but it really touches a person at a very deep level.
Thank you. Thank you.
So what do you see? I'm going to jump around and talk about everything I can while I have you on the air.
Jump, baby, jump.
What do you see about the 2012? Do you see the shift, and do you see any kind of penetration of the collective making a huge difference in our species?
Yes, I do, and it's already in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that, you know, there's no right or wrong in the creation of the new earth and 2012. Basically, any way that you want to write the script and see it playing out, that's the way it will happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you have to leave this physical earth and create a new earth, you'll create that reality. If you know that you simply are shifting your energy and creating a whole universe within you right here on this earth, that's the way it will happen.
Hmm.
So there's, again, no right or wrong scenario here. Nothing's in stone. It's an energetic understanding that we literally are creating our virtual reality. So you better choose the perspective that you want to hold, because that's going to be what it is.
And is that a pretty big, like in your world, do you have to practice that all the time as a discipline? Of course.
Well, I think it's a process, because we, even in ourselves, have been taught forever that we have no control over our own creation.
Mm-hmm.
That life happens,
mm-hmm.
and then you react to it.
And you make your bed and you
get by the best you can.
Yeah, really.
You know, that's not true. And that was taught to us by people who were in control.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to rewrite that script and know that that's BS. It's just BS.
So even though
you are the only person that has control over your life, do you understand? You are the only person that can create your life.
Now, you were talking about Dolores Cannon and past lives and so on. Do you feel like sometimes our control directives are in the subconscious because of the soul's journey from other lives and from hitching up with other souls like family and so on?
I think our soul is forever looking and creating the experience we need to know its expanded self.
Hmm.
So, for me, the highest claim that we can make is I am unlimited truth.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know everything. I do know everything. Let me correct that. I want to remember everything that I know and access that knowing. That's the most unlimited truth that can be known. That's what I want. And you can't have that if you go into judgment about anything. And I talk a lot about judgment,
mm-hmm.
In there, and people really get it when I talk about it from the acting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you, and any creative person will tell you, you cannot create art, acting, music, if you sit back and look in judgment around what's coming through you,
mm-hmm.
through your channel.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to channel. You have to be a pure channel.
And a pure channel is when you're not in judgment, not in reacting, just open to hearing.
Love and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Love and joy and power. And power is a big thing for those of us that are on the spiritual journey, because we have been taught that love does not go with power. Spirituality does not go with power. Joy, actually, doesn't go with power. And money creates power and takes all the other stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you believe, it's going to be delivered to you. So I'm saying we better change those beliefs and know that our love is our power.
And I agree with you entirely. Now, here's the other thing, is all the illumination of the deceptions and the conscriptions going on in, the world economic system, politics, who owns what, oil, and all of that kind of stuff. It's pretty hard not for people not to have any care or concern or reaction to that. Do you feel like we can create enough from within ourselves to balance some of that or fulfilling?
Basically, we have to, or nothing's going to change. So that's our choice. I mean, you can go in reaction and feed the animal more,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go, okay, this is not what I want. What do I want in my world? I want the highest truth.
Mm-hmm.
I want equality. I want fairness. I want mutual respect.
Love for all. I want
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, plenty so it's kind for of like all. The whole... I want everybody taken care of. That's my choice, and that's my direction mm-hmm. for myself and for this world.
Mm-hmm. So it's like so many individuals like you, like me, are dropping back in and coming out from that individual truth and choice, isn't it? It's like
yes,
a whole
and that's
collective
the only
could
answer.
Shift.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I gave the sermon at my spiritual center.
Mm-hmm. And which is in L.A.?
It's in Burbank, yeah.
Okay.
Spirit Works, if anybody wants to join us there. Awesome. And my opening line, though, because we're challenged financially right now, my opening line was that, you know, this religious institution is a metaphor for the financial demise of America.
Mm-hmm.
Because any limitation unempowered thoughts that we have about money personally, about our self-worth to make money, about knowing that we are the creation of money, about knowing that love and joy and money absolutely live harmoniously together because we direct it that way. Mm-hmm. If we're holding those limiting thoughts, that affects the family, that affects the community, that affects the church, that affects your state, that affects the country you're living in. And every negative thought that you have about this country creates more problems for the country you live in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rule. It's a law. So when the majority of us, and I am not political, but I do not think the Tea Party is helping us here mm-hmm. in the spiritual realm, you know, until the majority of us go, okay, let me just stand back. Who is talking about joy? Who's talking about love? Who's talking about equality? Who's talking about solution? And who's talking and pointing the finger and creating more negative beliefs and fears?
Hmm. Which
way do you want to go? It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer, but it's up to you and your choice.
Well, it's funny, on a slightly different level, very often when I look out as an intuitive, when I look out at the world, I see these incredibly bright little sparks rising amidst the debris of systems collapsing or whatever
yep.
they're doing. And I just have great faith that that's our politics, Dee, isn't it?
What do you mean?
That is, for me, that's my politics, is to believe in what you're... To drop inside and create from inside instead of creating in response.
It's the only thing that's going to save all of us, and we don't need to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
We're exactly where we're supposed to be, and things are crumbling, do you understand, because they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to have unlimited thought in a new earth, we have to create something we've never created before.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to invite new unlimited thoughts and commitments to love and peace and joy and harmony by living in the system that has been created from the opposite of
from
those.
Separation and
it's
yes,
like you
dominance.
Know Einstein said you can't create something new with the old thought that created the other thing.
Right. That's insanity. He
like
says
that.
That's insanity, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about your healing work. I know you do energy, don't you?
I do. I teach people
mm-hmm.
How to direct their own energy. And I teach them because, remember, when I dropped to my knees, I said, I want a way we can heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So my focus is to empower and teach people to understand and be able to mine their own energy. My specialty is being able to go into a person's energetic system
mm-hmm.
and extrapolate and understand the blocks that are in their way to creating what they want to create.
Hmm.
For example, people will call me. You know, I have two international call-in shows, and they're free. Anybody can find them.
I've listened a little bit to one of them, and it was very wonderful. People,
oh, my God, they're unbelievable. And they're not unbelievable because of me. Mm-hmm. They're unbelievable because of the people and their commitment to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, oftentimes they'll say, well, I know I want money, Dee. I need money, and if I know I want to create it, why am I not creating it? Usually it's not about money. It's about some other subject.
Like a worthiness or family pattern or something?
Yes, shame. Or the belief. That's why I want to invite everybody to go to my website and listen to this free past life regression that Dolores Cannon did for me. It will blow you away, because this was one of my journeys, and I didn't understand that I had created a belief in a Roman lifetime that I had to give up the truthfulness of my love for power. Because I knew that love was the answer, but Rome lived by the sword and died by the sword. And so I created the belief, along with many other people in my family, I might add, I created the belief that literally I had, any time I got really, really close to power, and this gives you even more insight now into the stories in Bright Light, that whenever I got to really big power, that I would have to give up love and the truthfulness of love that I was. So whenever I got really close to power, I would sabotage it or create sabotage around it in some way, because I would never give up my truthfulness of love. Now I know that my love is my power. There is no separation of them. But, you know, because I was relentless in asking, I said, look, there's something. I want the truth. I want the truth. I want the truth. I want the truth. Ultimately, I had to, and, you know, you could have blown me away. I was there on tour with Dolores. I was speaking. I was doing workshops. And she said, Dee, they're telling me to do you today. But the message for everyone is unbelievable. Put down your sword. Put down the struggle. Your love is your power.
That's wonderful.
It's amazing. And
you find that that works as a tool for becoming an actor, for example.
I think it's a tool for becoming anything. That when you passionately are in love with yourself, because you live in joy and love all the time, and you take that into everything you do, you love everything you do. And that's my life right now. I got to tell you, and it was not my life 15 years ago. But I love to act. I love to write. I love doing the talk shows. I love doing the private sessions. I love doing these, you know, and talking to you and sharing and expanding, you know, with people. You know, and people go, my God, Dee, how do you do this all? Aren't you tired? And I have directed me that everything that I do, I love, and it energizes me more. And it does. I mean, sorry, my Baptist preacher is coming out because I'm getting really excited.
You don't have to be sorry with me. I love it because it's energizing. You're invigorating. I just want to say this about doing these radio shows, which I've done for a number of years now. I always feel like we're sending waves out into the collective, waves of consciousness.
Oh, absolutely we are.
So that, to me, is something I'm passionate about. I love it. You know, it's
Yes. And you can feel it. You can viscerally feel the shift.
Yes.
And we're almost at the 100th monkey.
Wow. Well, that'd be great, hey?
I mean, what is it that, not freedom. If everybody could just claim, I am freedom, and keep focused on freedom and the creation of themselves as freedom, then the world can shift within the snap of a finger.
I think it's going to happen, don't you?
It's happening now. It's happening now, and we're almost there. Because people are going, I will not be in free by your lying anymore. I will not be held hostage by the Berlin Wall anymore. I will not be held hostage by people making, you know, 100 times more than I am, and, you know, our country being at risk because of it. Mm-hmm. I am not going to be held out of my freedom anymore. I am going to focus on freedom and create literally the demise of anything that's in its way.
Yay!
And that's what's going on now.
Wow, I love that. So what do you think of aliens, Dee?
Oh, well, I have no doubt that aliens exist.
I mean, it's no mystery to all of us that you were the mother of E.T. or in E.T. That was a wonderful, wonderful show, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That really lifted the consciousness, I might say, of the world.
We all fell in love with E.T.
Well, and yes, and that is what I know, and that's what Dolores Cannon knows. You know, she's done thousands of past life regressions with people that have been abducted.
Right. I remember that.
And
isn't she the one who says that none of it's been dangerous, really?
Oh, yeah. They're all here to help us. They're all here to support us. They are all here to guide us, but they cannot interfere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I thought they were allowed to interfere.
So, you know, but again, as you believe, it's going to be delivered unto you. So if an alien, if there's two people in a room, and one of them think aliens are here to kill us, and one of them knows that aliens are here to help us and support us, the alien's going to walk into the room, and the one person is going to have their reality, and the other person's going to have theirs, and that's what I mean.
It's really hard for us to actually understand or grok subjective reality, isn't it? Just that my reality can be fully mine and different from yours, and we can be sitting on the same couch.
Yep. Because we are taught to think linearly and to go to our mind to work everything out, and that's not where any of the answers are. The answers are in the channel. The answers are when you drop to your heart center and you go into the place where you know.
I like that. Do you think that I want to go back just to the alien cultures for just a moment. It's the same with them, is it not?
What do you mean?
I mean, they can communicate. Okay. This is my kind of belief. I never quite know whether.
This is your semi-belief. Huh?
That's right. I say, oh, I believe this. Okay, we'll watch and see how long that lasts. But in any case, our ability to communicate through the heart or create our reality through the heart, they have that as well, have they not? I mean, aren't they just kind of on the same track as we are?
Absolutely. But you see, I'm going to Ramtha.
You are?
Ramtha's white book. And she says in there that when we use the totality of our brain, that is the same definition as God.
Ah.
And that is then being the channel and being the heart. That's what a lot of heart math is about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're not using the totality of our brain. We're not using the part of our brain that is saying, go to your heart and be in the channel. That's where the answers are, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we truly are unlimited thought and open to looking at everything in an entirely new way that nobody's ever presented it before, like the world's round, you know, then we can expand into a whole new world of knowing what there is, the unlimitlessness of what there is.
And I think our children know that, some of them these days.
Oh, many of the new kids coming in even have different DNA.
Right. Isn't that
you
exciting?
Know? But we're still trying to put them on the sofa and telling them to sit still.
Right.
You know? And they're going, screw this. I don't need your rules and regulations, and I'm not going to abide by them.
And some of them come and say, I know already. I know things already.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I just want to throw out the thing about heart math for people who don't know what heart math is. It's a system, what would you say, a system of research. It's a resonance system where they're studying, working with and studying what the conscious functioning of the heart and the vibrations, right?
Yes, and the power, you know.
And they're working with animals and people and resonances as well, aren't they?
Well, everything is an entity in itself. My home is an entity. I am an entity. The alien is an entity. The country of America is an entity within itself. And every entity has a personality and a lifeblood and a heart center, right? Just like a person does. So whatever it is based on, and it was really interesting in one of my shows, and again, I'm not terribly political here, guys, but it seems that...
Your politics seems to be your being.
Well, yeah, and I'm being given more through the channel because I went into reaction, and that's always when I know there's a big flipping pony somewhere, some gift. And I went into reaction about all of this, you know, taking God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I went, okay, is this just my Kansas stuff? There's a big reaction here. And what came through the channel could have blew my socks off, was that America was based on unlimited thought and possibility. That's what we were based on.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
And that is the description of God. Hmm. So you are never going to separate God and America because America is God in that definition.
Hmm. Well, that's good.
Of course, you get involved in all the lower religious definitions, and then we run into trouble. Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's a scientific description of God.
Well, what you're saying is the stuff that we get in trouble with has been limited by man's belief structures, right?
Well, everything has been limited by man's belief structures.
And you're saying
man
to
has
us...
Man has been limited by his own belief structures.
Who's?
Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
And your whole teaching is about unlimit that.
Limitlessness.
Limitlessness, yeah.
There is no limit other than what we, our perceptions and our beliefs, put on the world.
I've really enjoyed this, and I want people to read your book called Bright Light, Spiritual Lessons from a Life in Acting. I'm telling everybody, it's delightful.
I love that. You can get it at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it at Barnes & Noble and most of the, you know, smaller bookstores. Tell them to order it. They can, and they will.
And you're also, your website, which is... You have three or four websites, but IamDWallace.com is really...
That's it.
Really...
Everything's under that umbrella now.
Oh, it is. Eh?
Yeah.
And you can get archives, and you can get all kinds of things, videos, your reel. I loved your reel.
Thank you. Yeah, it's everything that I am, acting, healing, speaking, everything.
Well, it's been so wonderful talking to you. And what movies are we going to see you in? Are you going to go on in the movies anymore?
Oh, yeah, I've got four of them coming out. I just finished a delightful little movie called Margarine Wars with Doris Roberts.
Margarine Wars?
Uh-huh. And I have a great, and I have really high hopes for this picture. It's a zombie picture, but it's a zombie picture like you've never, I don't know, if there's a poetic zombie picture, this is it. It's called Exit Humanity.
Okay.
Again, you can see the trailer on my website. And it's... Anchor Bay picked it up. I think it's making the festival round starting this month, actually.
Oh, wow.
So,
Exit Humanity?
Exit Humanity, yeah.
Yay. And what are the other two?
Oh, you know, they're up all the upcoming events and what I'm shooting and what I'm doing. It's all up on my website, so you guys can check it out.
We'll check it out. Well, I thank you, Dee Wallace. You've brought a lot of light to our show today.
I got to tell you, this was, I think, one of the best interviews I've ever had. Thank you. Thank you for listening and being in the moment with me.
Oh, what an
instead
honor.
Of having a list of questions.
Well, I've just enjoyed myself. I'm jealous of myself, you see.
It's just been awesome. Thank you so much, and many blessings to everybody.
And to you.
Thanks.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, everyone, for listening. That was Dee Wallace, our paradigm shifter for this week, and I sure recommend her book, Bright Light, Spiritual Lessons from a Life in Acting, and we'll talk to you soon. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for listening. Good night.